Welcome once again, ladies and gentlemen, across America and around the world. You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper.
And I'm Carolyn Nelson.
Folks, I've been told throughout the years that no one would listen to me, that I'm just a voice shouting in the wilderness, and we've heard that before, haven't we? I've been told that if I open my mouth, I would be killed. Well, I've been opening my mouth for many years, and I have been attacked several times and severely injured, but I'm still here, and I'm still doing it. I was told that if I went somewhere to speak, nobody would show up. Yet, when I go to places like Salt Lake City, I can fill the Salt Dome. And do. People are beginning to wake up, but not even near the lowest numbers that we need to succeed in our endeavor. They told me that I could never get on the air on radio anywhere. And then if I did, I'd be tossed off in 5 seconds flat. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we've been on the air since May the 4th, 1992, and we intend to stay on the air until somebody does throw us off. Or they come and take me away, or they put me in the grave, whichever comes first, or we win this battle. That's what I would really like to do, leave a better world for those who follow after us. I've been told that if I talk to my radio audience like I do, that I wouldn't have a radio audience, yet the people who know now tell me that I have the largest shortwave radio audience in the world. And not only do I broadcast 1 hour a night, I now broadcast 2 hours a night. In this time slot, which is 5 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Mountain, 7 p.m. Central, and 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and then later in the evening at 9 p.m. Pacific, 10 Mountain, 11 Central, and midnight Eastern Standard Time. Like to read a fax to you from one of the sheeple. He says, W. Cooper, I would normally communicate my opinion by voice, but in your case, you are impossible to rationally communicate with. Here's a message for you, mister. The overall gist of your radio programs are informative and worthwhile. Surprise. What is bloody sickening is your big ego and your method of talking down to people. Tell me, Mr. Cooper, when exactly did you stop being a sheeple? Were you born knowing how this insane world works? You know the, and I can't say the word, folks, but it rhymes with bucking as in the rodeo. You know the bucking truth, and I know the truth. Was the truth real easy to find? No, it wasn't. It is a conspiracy of all conspiracies, so a few years ago you learned the truth and stopped being a fathead. Stopped treating others like, and I can't say that word either, folks, but it rhymes with bit, as in drill bit. Educate, not insult. You will get a lot farther. Are you sure you are not running for Antichrist? You are sounding like one. Get civil. Signed, G. Drysdale. Folks, I will get civil, and I will stop telling you the truth about yourselves when you shed that coat of wool and stand up on your 2 feet like a man and woman. When you begin to help actively take this country back. When you stop buying the bullshit of the New World Order and the secret societies. When you stop believing blindly what you're told. When you stop buying. You see, I've tried it the nice way. I've tried being real nice to people. I tried telling them that they're the greatest people on the face of this earth. I've tried telling them that they're the most well-educated, most intelligent group of people on this earth, and they continually prove me wrong. You see, I am beginning to discover that when the Illuminati call you animals, that for the most part, it's true. Most people have never had an original thought in their life. Don't even know how to do it. People call me every day, asking me the most stupid questions I've ever heard in my entire life. Questions that if they just sat down and thought for 1 second, they could answer themselves. No, folks. I'm going to tell the truth on the hour of the time. I'm going to tell the truth always. And the truth is, most people are sheeple, not people at all. The reason we're losing our great nation is because of those sheeple. Because if people really could use their intelligence, if they really did stand up on their own 2 feet, and if they really were not sheeple, we would never be in this condition to begin with. And I have never shirked my portion of the blame. I have said on many of these programs that for most of my life, I was just as stupid and ignorant and apathetic as everyone else. But I woke up. And I'm going to demand that you wake up. And until you do, I'm going to call you exactly what you are, and that's sheeple. And only the sheeple will be insulted by it. This man's, Mr. Drysdale, your contention that you know what's going on is total crap. If you knew what was going on, you would not be insulted by my attempts to wake up those stupid people out there who are allowing freedom to slip out of their grasp because of their apathy, their ignorance, and their stupidity. If I walk down the street and someone yells, "Hey, stupid," I don't turn around because I know they're not talking to me, and it does not make me angry. Get ready, folks. We've got a good show tonight. We're bringing someone back that you haven't heard for or from in a while, and you need to hear from her again. Get ready, folks. Don't move from your seats, because right now, with no further hesitation, we bring you Waco, Part 46. Good evening, Linda Thompson. Welcome back to the Hour of the Time.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you? That's the question.
Well, I'm alive and well and kicking and being a major boil on the butt of these people. They're trying to take our government away from us, and I hope to continue to be for some time to come.
Good for you. And you're just one lonely, helpless person, aren't you?
Well, actually, not anymore. It's been really nice. In terms of response, I've heard from so many people, and so many people have taken the original Waco tape, showed it in their communities, and people really are waking up around the country. That's been the most gratifying part of this, the whole thing. I was so happy to see that occur. I don't feel like I'm alone anymore. I know I'm not, and it's people like you that are making the difference.
Well, thank you, Linda. But I'm just one lonely, helpless person, too, and so is Carolyn Nelson.
Here I am, too. Hi, Linda. Welcome back. And I guess you've gone from coast to coast, north and south.
Yes. But that's all been part of the people that have just taken the bull
right
by the horns and run with it. It's been amazing to me. People would get the tape, show it on public access TV. They'd show it to their churches. They'd show it to their gun clubs. They'd show it to their families. You know, and then they'd send it to their congressman. I haven't been on any radio shows in Georgia at all, and a congressman from Georgia was on C-SPAN saying, please don't send me another copy of the tape. The governor of Texas was asked by Carrie Liberty Parker, who has been just an amazing, amazing, amazing person working in this, on radio one day, had she seen the Waco tape, and the governor of Texas replied, in my sleep. In my sleep. So we know, Department of Justice got asked about the tape twice during their final so-called report of their investigation into Waco, and could not explain the fire at the end of the tank, didn't try to. They said that it appeared to be flames, and their experts didn't know what it was.
Now, if the United States government says that, who are these people who call themselves patriots who have set out on one course and one course only, and that's to try to discredit you and to discredit your work and to try to get people not to look at that tape anymore? Who are these people?
Every single one of them so far that has done that has been connected to Bo Grites.
You mean Bobo is in this, mixed up in this?
Absolutely. He began the attack simultaneously with Tom Donahue and Ron Engelman. And they were relying on a tape that they, before it was even out, that was produced by a guy named McNulty, who's an insurance salesman but claims to be a professional investigator.
Yeah, and we checked that out this afternoon after I talked to you. And he is indeed an insurance broker. And is not a professional investigator, so he has lied on that point. Is that correct?
Well, that's one of the several points he's lied on, actually. He's apparently got an article coming out in Soldier of Fortune in the February issue. And that's going to be real interesting because the points that he's making, he's put out a videotape is what he's done. And the purpose of, he called me back in June and said he was going to prove that the flame-throwing tank that was seen in my first tape was not a flame-throwing tank. Now, he also said he had footage showing that there was a flame-throwing tank in another part of the footage that he had at a different place in the building. And I said, well, that's really dumb. Why would you try to prove mine wasn't real, but yours was real? And it didn't make sense to me. And I just pretty much blew him off as a nut and didn't pay any attention to him. And it took him months because he's just now come out with this footage. Well, what he's done is he's got a piece of footage that shows the tank backing up, and then it continues to back up on his tape, and it appears that what's on the front of the tank is debris. Well, in all the footage that we've had, I have never found a continuous piece of tape that shows the tank continuing to back up. I did find a piece of tape that shows a tank backing up with debris on it, but even that piece, and it matches the footage in McNulty's tape. But in even that tank, the debris is on fire. And that's what he cut off.
And it's smoking, isn't it?
It's smoking.
And also, we've examined the tape, and none of the debris that's on the front of the tank has a reflective surface whatsoever. And I might add that that none of those building materials would be reflective enough to reflect sunlight or any kind of light and make that kind of a washout on a videotape.
There's no insulation in the building, which you'll remember Bo Greitz originally claimed until he found that there was no insulation in the building, and debris does fall down. You can see the debris fall in my tape, but you see the fire get crushed by the debris. That's what pushes the fire out and makes that little whipping tail. I mean, nothing looks like fire except fire. You can't imitate it. Glare doesn't imitate it. Nothing imitates fire. Fire is fire. A Boy Scout can look at this tape and tell you what you're seeing. On top of that, though, we have footage of the flame-throwing tanks, plural, not just one tank. There was more than one tank out there, we found out. And we've got pictures of it shooting flame in other parts of the building, and we now have the footage that proves where the fire started, and it's continuous footage. There's no interruptions, no cuts. It began in the back of the house, right where the tank went in my first tape. That back wall was set on fire and began smoking 10 minutes or more before the front window that everybody saw on TV begins to smoke and starts on fire. And the camera caught the smoke. There's also another tank back there. Smoke is coming out from all around the front of this tank. And all of a sudden you see billows of smoke. The camera backs away. And a few minutes later, the window starts on fire. There's no break in it. You can absolutely see it. There can be no doubt where the fire really started. And there are three points of origin. One is right there in the back of the house. One is on the second story to the left of the front door. And the other is in the second story to the right of the front door, and that's the one everybody saw on TV. McNulty's tape also, the probably the most bogus part of the tape is...
Well, let's start from the beginning. A lot of the listeners don't even know what you're talking about. He has a tape that he is not releasing to the public. In fact, I have a document that I obtained which states that the tape is only released to the press. And he sent out this press release on a letterhead of something called the California Organization for Public Safety, and it has like a Capitol building on the letterhead, which makes people think that it comes actually from the state of California. And the acronym is COPS, which sounds official. And in fact, this is a total bogus organization, isn't it?
Well, if you call, I found out the phone number they have listed begins with area code 909. That's a pay number. If you call there, you're going to be billed, you know, so much a minute just for calling them.
Uh-huh.
And secondly, if you call information for the number for this group, they don't have a listing, not even with information. So they can't, if they exist at all, they can't have been around very long. So that's lie number two.
Well, this afternoon I made two phone calls. One was to the state of California Capitol and Capitol Building. I talked to them. There is no such agency in California. They know of no citizen agency by that name. And I also called the long-distance operator for that address and that number and attempted to obtain a listing. And there is no listing. Also, the manner in which this tape was distributed, not allowing the public to see it, and I haven't been able to get my hands on a copy of it to look at it either. But people that I know have looked at it, including you, claim that this tape has been doctored. Is that correct?
Yes, and I didn't get I couldn't get a copy from them. I got a copy through someone who is in the media that got the copy to me because I had asked for a copy. And this was particularly peculiar because a guy that's been going on radio programs, this has been set up really very cleverly. McNulty produced the tape, and he puts out these press releases that look official for this bogus business that he has, claims he's an investigator when he's an insurance salesman, and then he has a second fellow who is fairly well established as a writer on Second Amendment issues named Neil Shulman go out and promote his tape, you know, tout it to the media as the be-all, end-all solution to what happened in Waco, and at the same time attempt to discredit me. That makes it look even more authentic because here's somebody else who's an expert promoting the tape on his behalf. McNulty himself doesn't promote the tape.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of odd because Shulman had called me too.
There's nothing odd about it, Linda. This is a classic operation to try to shut you up and discredit you just 10 days before the trials of the Branch Davidians begin in San Antonio.
Linda, that's what I wondered also, is why they waited until about the fourth month of your travels around the country to suddenly break this.
I thought it was kind of interesting, too. There was actually, the attack started the day the Justice Department report came out, and it was almost like the right hand didn't know what the left hand was doing, because the Justice Department came out and publicly said that their experts would not say that that wasn't flame coming out of that tank. And they, you know, that's really pretty good. I was amazed that they didn't get anyone to lie for them and say that it wasn't flames. So when the government won't even go to the point of claiming that it wasn't flames, it makes no sense to me for some group that claims to be a patriot organization to go out of their way to do it.
I've told you many times, Linda, you're not listening to me. There are no patriot organizations.
These guys claim to be, so I guess that's how you can tell.
That's what they claim to be, but there are no patriot organizations. The people who are bringing about the New World Order practice the Hegelian dialectic of political conflict resolution. They create the problem. They create the opposing sides, which will battle over a solution to this problem. And the solution is always what they wanted to get in the first place. But as it turns out, the people always think it was by accident or it was their idea. And it always seems or appears to solve a problem for the public. But it never does. It always results in more control of the public and less freedoms for the individual.
Well, that's obviously the case, particularly in the gun control issue, but back to this silly tape. In any event, I'm able to identify the stations that are, you know, the government lackeys by who grabbed this up and started touting it. And that was what occurred right about the time the Justice Department report came out, which was back in October. Immediately after that, Tom Donahue had me on his program, and what he kept trying to do was get me to talk about Vogue Rights, and I told him I wouldn't. I wanted to talk about the tape, and he then began to attack me on his program, along with Ron Engelman. Now, you'll remember Ron Engelman was the broadcaster in Waco, or in Texas, who got a job in a radio station right before Waco happened.
Just immediately before, in fact.
Exactly.
And as soon as it was over, he left.
Uh-huh. And that occurred to several media people down there. In fact, there was one station that had 26 employees that were hired before Waco and left after Waco. The other day, I happened to be calling Parkland Hospital and talked to a guy who said he was the administrator on call and that his name was Rick Stevens, which sounded like a bogus name. I was calling to check some information on the burn patients that were treated from Waco. And he asked me who I was, and I explained, about the tape, and I explained why I was investigating the issue of the burns that people had suffered. And as I got into the detail about the flame-throwing tank and stuff, he interrupted me, and he said, "You mean you think we set the fire?" Now, that really threw me off, because I said...
He was supposed to be an employee of Parkland Hospital.
That's right. And I said, "What do you mean, we?" He said, "ATF." I said, "Why would you use the word we?" And he said, "Well, you take it however you want to take it. It was just a figure of speech. I didn't mean it to be offensive." I said, "I'm not offended. I'm stunned. You know, why would you include yourself in a group of people that are government employees? Why would you say we? Are you a government employee?" And he said, "No." And I said, "Are you an agent? Are you any kind of agent?" He said, "No." And then I asked him, was he employed by ATF, and he denied that, too. But it was really peculiar, and I'll tell you, it absolutely looks like this whole thing was a set-up deal from the very beginning. They had broadcasters in place. In fact, while I was in Waco, one of the broadcasters for NBC was a guy I went to law school with. Now, tell me why somebody that's going to be an announcer for a TV show needs to go to law school.
Well, they don't, but they have to go to law school to be an FBI agent.
That's right.
You know, they were in control of everything down there. During the Waco siege, when I arrived down there, I called the Waco Police Department in order to clear my press credentials, and I didn't get anybody at the Waco Police Department. In fact, when they answered the phone at the Waco Police Department, Sharon Wheeler was the person who answered the phone, and you didn't get past her. unless you had some other kind of legitimate business that had nothing to do with the Branch Davidians.
Well, Sharon Wheeler is an ATF public relations spokesman.
That's absolutely correct.
And another interesting thing is when the Branch Davidians dialed 911 that day, they got Lieutenant Lynch at the Waco Police Department. Now, Lieutenant Lynch works for the Sheriff's Department. He doesn't work for the Waco Police Department. Shouldn't have been there. Why was he answering the phone? Who sent him over there to begin with?
Well, they had the whole thing covered in all areas from beginning to end. There is no doubt about it that this was a large, huge operation that involved elements of multinational law enforcement units, military, and even the British SAS, which provided overflights of reconnaissance aircraft and certain infrared heat-seeking devices so that they could identify where these people were inside those buildings.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because the tape that we're working on right now, which I, for want of a better name, we'll call it Waco 2, we have found footage of military in uniforms on the tanks as the fire is burning at Waco, and they are not U.S. military uniforms. How's that for proof?
Well, it's we've got tons of proof. That's just one more one more little stick put on the fire, so to speak.
No, there's not any blue beanies, but there are uniforms that are not U.S. military uniforms, and they are on the tanks. They were driving the tanks. They were in the tanks, and I want somebody to answer that question. Who were these people? Why were they here? Why were they driving tanks on American soil to begin with, and why were they killing women and children?
Against American citizens. There was also a United States Army psychological warfare unit on site, manned by military personnel, and that's where all the loudspeaker music came from and the recordings of rabbits being slaughtered.
The drills. They had every nasty sound you can think of on those tapes.
Mm-hmm.
I have gotten, some congressmen have written to the Joint Chiefs of Staff and different military and asked specific questions. They asked me to write the questions, and they submitted them to the military for answers. And it's really funny because depending on who got the questions, the answers are different every time.
Sure.
So they're lying through their teeth, because one guy says there's only 5 tanks out there, another one says there were 12. We can count at least that many in the footage that we have. This type of thing, they deny that the active military had anything to do with this other than advisory. When you can see there was, we've got a picture of a tactical Jeep with a machine gun mounted on the back and a guy standing on the back of the Jeep manning that machine gun, driving it through Waco, through the Mount Carmel property.
And machine guns are not issued to law enforcement agencies.
Absolutely not. And this is a big one. This is a big
caliber
machine gun.
Yeah, I should rephrase that. The type that would be mounted on a stanchion on a Jeep is not normally issued to law enforcement agencies.
We have pictures of the helicopters with military hanging out of the helicopters with rifles pointed down. There is a neighbor, Ron Cook, of the Branch Davidians, who says that he videotaped people being shot as they ran out the back of the house, and that his videotape was stolen. But that, even if that is the case, we've got pictures of the sniper nest set up in the back of the house in a barn. That they sandbagged this barn inside, just all the way up the walls, and then made sniper holes so they could shoot out these holes. And they've even marked the paint like you'd notch a gun.
Okay, we got to interrupt you, Linda, and take a short break here. Don't go away, folks. We'll be right back. The hour of the time, ladies and gentlemen, is brought to you by Swiss America Trading. They specialize in non-reportable, hard assets, non-confiscatable, hard assets, that have proven throughout the history of the world to be the only medium of exchange that can protect you against economic trauma, financial and total economic collapse, against inflation, against depressions. And there is no dispute about this. It is a historic fact. Even when gold and silver coin has been outlawed, there has always been a thriving black market upon which gold and silver has been king, has ruled the market. Ladies and gentlemen, Waco is just one little indication, no matter how horrible it may seem to you, and no matter how much the magnitude of this situation may overwhelm you, it is only the first and only a very small indication of what is to come, I can assure you. And if you've been a regular listener to the hour of the time, we have proven it over and over and over and over again, because we do not deal with conjecture on this program. We give you facts. We quote the enemy's own words. We reveal their plans. We tell you exactly who they are. We name names. If you want to protect yourself and your family, call Swiss America Trading and do it now. You know how you are. You know that you'll find something else to do tomorrow morning. So call them now. 1-800-289-2646. Thank them for sponsoring the hour of the time. Mention my name, William Cooper, and tell them you would like to have all of the free literature and newsletters, which are chock full of information that you need to have. Everyone who works at Swiss America Trading, and Craig Smith, the owner and president of Swiss America Trading, are honest, good people. Kaji has thoroughly checked out that corporation and everybody there. We had many people vying to sponsor this program. Swiss America Trading is the only one who passed the test. And I tell you now, if they ever do anything that even hints of illegal or unethical, you call me, and I'll make sure that it's straightened out. But I don't think you ever have to worry about that, because everyone who's ever dealt with Swiss America Trading has been treated fairly, and in fact, have been very happy. Call now, 1-800-289-2646. That's 1-800-289-2646. In fact, all of the competition either worked at Swiss America Trading and were trained by Craig Smith and went out and started their own business, which, by the way, when they're gone, when you hear from them no more, Swiss America Trading will still be there. One of the competition is a customer that learned about precious metals through dealing with Swiss America Trading. And it pains me that these people who learned how to make their livelihood from Craig Smith and Swiss America Trading would go so far out of their way to lie about Swiss America Trading to many of you out there listening. You only get the truth on the hour of the time. Always ask for the buyback policy in writing. Always ask what the guarantee is. Always ask how long you have to return your purchase, should you not even like the way it looks. You'll get all that from Swiss America Trading, but I guarantee you, you won't get it from the others, ladies and gentlemen, and that is the truth. Call now, 1-800-289-2646. That's 1-800-289-2646. Do it now. You'll be glad that you did. Well, Linda, what's next?
Well, that sniper's nest. I wanted to mention something I thought was truly just absolutely disgusting. The sniper's nest that the FBI set up behind the Branch Davidian's house that was out there the day of the fire, on the wall, they were marking the people that they killed like you'd notch a gun handle. There were marks on the wall with paint, just little notches, and, you know, drawn like you draw five sticks up and one across and so many on down. And that right there should be plenty of evidence that things were not as we were being told. The entire hostage rescue team of the FBI, the same guys that were up in Idaho, and I did verify this, all 50 of the hostage rescue team members were in Idaho at Randy Weaver's house. The same guys were in Waco. And the FBI wasn't there on the second or third or fourth day like they told us. They were there the first day. They were there from the beginning of this thing. And these are the people that murdered everyone in that place and have yet to answer for it. They've yet to answer for murdering Vicki Weaver.
They're not the only ones, Linda. All of the people in the United States of America, all of the sheeple have to answer for this, too. Because they didn't have to wait until those things happened to know that something was wrong. On the very first day, when a spokesperson for the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms gave a press conference and stated that they were there and had made a raid with guns drawn firing on a church in Waco, Texas, because they had heard from a foreign source through the State Department that the members of the church were going to commit suicide, every single person in this country should have stood up and said, "You are a liar." But they didn't do it because they are sheeple. They are ignorant, apathetic, and stupid. And unless they stop being that way, you're going to see many more Wacos in the coming months and years.
Well, let's talk ignorant, apathetic, and stupid about what's going on right this minute. The trial for the surviving Branch Davidians, 12 of them, they're charged with conspiracy to commit murder and murder of federal agents, is going on beginning January the 10th in San Antonio.
Now, they didn't attack any federal agents, did they?
No, they did not. And right now, we've got plenty of evidence of that. In fact...
Well, let's make sure the sheeple understand this. What is the charge again, Linda?
They're charged with conspiracy to commit murder and murder of federal agents.
Conspiracy means they planned the federal agents' raid on them so that they could kill the federal agents. Is that correct?
Right. It means that they conspired to kill these agents ahead of time. And that would mean that they had to know that they were coming and lay a trap and so forth and so on. That's why we've been hearing so much hoopla. You know, they've been trying to keep this alive in the media by feeding stories periodically. And one of the stories we all heard about was the mailman was tipped off by a reporter so that the ATF lost the advantage of surprise, that there was no surprise. And when they fired Stephen Higgins and they fired the other couple of ATF agents that had been in charge of the raid, they said it was because they knew the element of surprise had been lost and they should have abandoned the plan. Well, that whole thing is a lie. Every bit of that is a lie because there's an interview with Musa Faria, he's a reporter, who says that on Saturday, everybody at the Waco Tribune Herald knew about the raid. They'd already been told. They'd been called.
Not only that, but the ATF suited up in a parking lot downtown in full view of the entire citizenry.
Well, I've got an AP release from right in at the time of the original raid where Sharon Wheeler called the media beforehand. She was told to call them beforehand and tell them to be out there.
Sure.
There was no question of an element of surprise. There never was intended to be an element of surprise.
But all of that is moot anyway, Linda, simply because David Koresh had a habit of, a long habit and record of interacting honestly and without violence with police officers and sheriff's deputies and the sheriff himself. Whenever they wanted to talk to David Koresh, all they had to do was call him up and say, "Come down to the office," and he would do that. So
it invited the ATF to come out, and they didn't do it.
That's correct. So what they should have done is gone up to the door and knocked and served whatever warrant they had. They had no reason whatsoever to do what they did, unless they had the intention of killing these people to begin with.
Well, I believe they did intend to kill them. And that's some of the things that's covered in the original tape. It shows you how the fourth agent that went up on the roof was firing into the room and threw a grenade in there. Now, we found better footage, and we're putting this in Waco, too, where you can distinctly hear the grenade after it's thrown in. This is one of the things they cut out when the news media showed the footage of the original raid. They edited out some very important sounds, and I had to get it from the copies that the British got. And that's where I got it. It was copies that were sent out before a lot of it got edited out. There's machine gun fire. There's a grenade exploding. I've got two pictures showing agent, well, let me just begin at the top. What we have now, what we're putting in Waco 2, the ATF came out with seven different stories about how three of their four agents were killed. They originally gave a detailed report to the Dallas Morning News showing how four agents had gone up the ladder, three had gone in the window, and that those guys were killed when they went in the room by gunfire from the Branch Davidians.
That's correct, and the president himself identified those three as having been his personal bodyguards during his election campaign.
That's right. Now, keep in mind, the ATF itself claimed that those three men were the ones that went in the window and were killed.
That's correct.
As soon as my tape came out, they started backpedaling furiously.
In fact, they claimed that the people who went in the window at that point were not killed at all. Isn't that correct?
They weren't killed. They got back out the window, and they're just peachy fine. And then in the final official investigation report, they claimed that it was a team. You know, if you watch the tape, you can see two teams of agents going up ladders, one on the right, one on the left. The team that goes up the right is the team that goes in the front window. In the ATF report, they claim that the team that went up the left was really going to go up the left when they got to the top of the roof, cross over to the right, and go in a window on the same wall, and that they had three guys going in that you couldn't see, and that they were going in a different window on the same wall.
Well, they may have, because...
Stupid.
Do you have any tape to show where those guys went?
Yes, and one of them fell off the roof in the front of the house.
So, I'll tell you, looking at that tape, folks, it doesn't look like any kind of a planned raid by anybody who knew what they were doing. In fact, it looks like an episode right out of the old Keystone Cops.
What's really, really interesting is this final ATF report talking about the injuries. Remember how they said they had four dead agents and 16 injured agents?
That's correct.
Guess what they count as injuries? One person chipped a tooth. One person twisted his ankle running away.
Well, technically, that's all correct. Those are injuries. Although, you know, when I was in Vietnam, a B-40 rocket went off in close proximity to my boat on a sandbar, and I got shrapnel in my back, which I never reported, so I never got a Purple Heart and never wanted one. I thought that getting a medal for being injured was ludicrous. It wasn't a sign of anything that you did that was competent. It was a sign of either incompetence or being in the wrong place at the wrong time. And while you can always say you gave your all for your country, I just didn't go for that. And I question people who would report that they sprained their ankle and something like that. But there are technically injuries. What I want to get into, if you don't mind, is this upcoming trial on January the 10th. And I think all this hoopla and this intent, attempt to discredit you and divert the public's attention away from that trial and toward you is really what this is all about. And, of course, if they can discredit you, then they can do whatever they want to with those people. Now, the trial is going to be actually, in fact, a secret trial, is it not?
Yes, it's supposed to begin on January the 10th. That'll be the day they begin picking the jury. But it's going to be the same judge that was in Waco. They only have one judge in Waco, and he handpicked the magistrate, Dennis Green, to sign that bogus search warrant.
Now, let's backtrack a little bit here, because I want to make sure that everybody out there understands what's going on. You're a lawyer. You're supposed to know the law. Is that correct?
That's right.
Isn't it true that secret trials are against the law in the United States of America?
Yes. That was one of the points that the Star Chambers in England were just absolutely abhorrent to the Founding Fathers. That was why the original Bill of Rights, which, by the way, those 10 amendments, the first 10 amendments to our Constitution, They're not amendments at all. They were passed with the original Constitution. They were a condition of passing the original Constitution.
That's right.
They are not amendments. They are part and parcel of the Constitution. Every one of those Bill of Rights addresses a vital right that each of us has. And the fourth, let's see, what could possibly be left out? The fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh amendments or articles deal with your trial rights, your rights of due process, your rights to a fair and impartial hearing in front of a jury, of your peers, your right to counsel, public hearing. Well, it's not going to be very public because the judge has already put a gag order on all of the attorneys. He's already said no press. He's already said that he's going to pick the jury, and he's already said that the jurors are going to be anonymous.
Are spectators going to be allowed, Linda?
Well, I would imagine they're going to allow them in with numbering systems. That's what the indications are right now, but that means it's going to be the same little pet press that was down there to be
Well, the judge has said no press, so press can't be there.
Well, that's no live press. They'll be able to write about it. That they won't be able to film it, they won't be able to show it.
Mm-hmm. And they'll be the same press that lied about what was going on February the 28th and during the 51-day siege.
Yeah, and I want to bring up the point of a movie, and the reason I want to do that is it's a movie that won an award. It's called Panama Deception. It's available at Blockbuster Video, and it shows what happened in Panama and just how bad we were lied to by the media. And it also has one very telling point in it. It lists the media that were taken to Panama by the Pentagon. The Pentagon flew the media down to Panama. These are the government lackeys that they could guarantee to lie to the American public because that's exactly what they did. They lied to us because when you see this movie and you see this footage, this is real film footage in that movie. I didn't make it. I didn't have anything to do with it. But it was absolutely one of the most shocking films I've ever seen. It shows entire families were run over by tanks by our military in their cars. These whole families, men, women, and children, unarmed civilians, they dug mass graves, five mass graves to throw these people in. And this bunch of media, these dogs that the Pentagon took down there, were telling us lies. Well, it reads like a who's who of the media that was in Waco. And this should give you a clue about who is doing what.
And they're all members of the secret societies. We've already checked with most of them, not every one, but most of them we have checked. They are members of the secret societies. Now, including Freemasonry, for all you scumbags out there who think that your Freemasonic Lodge is such an honorable place to be, you are fools, I can guarantee you, and I can prove that statement anywhere. Linda, let's get back to Waco. The trial is on the 10th of January, is that correct?
Anyone that's aware of the Fully Informed Jury Association, Fully Informed Jury is under a lot of heat right now. They're being attacked in California by judges. The federal judges are getting together. They've reported anyone that is helping with Fully Informed Jury to the FBI and claiming that it's jury tampering.
Isn't it true that 98% of all federal judges are Freemasons?
Well, I don't know that, but I would take your word for it for sure.
Well, it's true. We have already made that affirmation.
It would seem that would be the case just from the ones that I do know of, but I don't know 98% of them. So, but the Fully Informed Jury people, what they're trying to do around the country is educate jurors to their rights. A jury has an absolute right to acquit. It only takes one guy who refuses, absolutely refuses to do anything other than what his conscience tells him is the right thing to do to prevent a person from being railroaded and shanghaied by these New World Order people.
Well, most of the sheeple don't know that they can do that, and they choose sheeple to sit on juries, and they're told what they can and can't do by the judge, and they think that that's what they have to listen to, and in fact, that's not true at all, is it?
It absolutely is not true, but I'll tell you this, as an attorney, and I want you to know, in Indiana, we have, in our Constitution, in the state of Indiana, it says very plainly, the jury has the right to judge both the facts and the law.
And that was the original intent of our founding fathers when they made our judicial decision subject to a jury's ruling if the value of the act was over $20.
And that, but when they say judge the law, that means you have the right to decide, even if the person may have broken the law under the specific wording of the law, if the facts are wrong or if the spirit of the law dictates that this person should not be found guilty in this case, or if you just think the law is a bad law, you as a juror have an absolute right to refuse to find that person guilty.
That's correct.
But what judges are doing, and even in my own state of Indiana, and this just occurred 2 weeks ago, we have judges telling jurors, no, you have to vote the law, the way you have to listen to what the law is the way I tell it to you. You do not have the right to disregard the law. You do not have the right to acquit the person if you find that they committed the offense as described. And when I try to tell them, no, our Constitution says you have an absolute right to disregard the law if you choose to, I am cited and told that if I don't shut up, I'll be in contempt of court. This is what they're doing.
That's how these secret societies infiltrate every single area of our society, our government, our military, our legal system, and control it from within.
And I actually had a judge tell me, and I never believed people that told me this before until it finally happened to me 2 weeks ago. A judge said to me, the Constitution has no place in this court, and you're not going to discuss it.
Well, technically, they're right. I've educated my listening audience on this many, many times. When Harry Truman signed the United Nations Treaty and pushed through Congress the UN Participation Act, the executive branch of the United States government interpreted the law to mean that under Article 6 of the Constitution, the United Nations Charter supersedes the Constitution of the United States of America. And in fact, when any judge is considering a ruling on a constitutional question, he must have in front of him a copy of the United States Constitution and a copy of the United Nations Charter and the resolutions which apply. Were you aware of that, Linda?
No, I certainly wasn't.
Well, that's a fact.
I didn't know about the UN Charter. One of the things I did know was about the Federal Emergency Management Act putting the federal judiciary under the executive branch and directly under executive branch control, and I see the effects of that day in and day out in court. We've got judges who are nothing but government lackeys. They have no intentions of attempting to be impartial or to meet justice. All they're interested in is slam dunks, get the calendar cleared, let me out of here, I'll go play golf. And I'm very disgusted with the entire system to such an extent that I am not going to practice law anymore.
You know, I have a steady listener who constantly writes me letters, and he lives down in Texas, who has made the connection between these people and golf, and what he wants to do is go shoot all golfers.
Well,
I told him to hold off and don't go doing anything like that. But
this trial in Waco promises to be a total rigged deal. Mark England, you might remember, he's the reporter at the Waco Tribune Herald.
You know, Linda, I hate to do this, but we're running out of time. I need you to wrap it up in about 30 or 40 seconds if you can.
Oh, quick, can I tell about the music video?
Yep, real quick.
All right, we've got a music video. It's just devastating. This is something that even the left-leaning liberal media, the dumbest people, the biggest sheeple, any idiot can see this video, and their eyes will be opened. I'm not kidding you. It's a music video. The number to get it is 1-800-749-9939. 1-800-749-9939. We just finished it today. It is devastating. Waco 2 will be done in about 2 weeks. We've got the footage that I talked about here earlier is in it. There's a lot more than that. And we're going to absolutely prove that the government's version that they've come out with now on this terrible tragedy of the gym collapsing in the McNulty tape is a lie.
Well, we know that McNulty's lying. We know that everybody else who has attacked you and tried to besmirch your character. You see, when the enemy can't deal with the facts, they always try to destroy the character of the person who is threatening them.
Well, if the court jester brings you the truth, it is still the truth. And who are you going to believe?
That's right.
Own eyes or their lying mouth? You know, to me, if I can see it in front of my eyes, on tape that has not been digitized like McNulty's was, on videotape that's just straight, what you see is what you get. When I can see them murdering people, using flame-throwing tanks, snipers, and the whole nine yards, I don't need to hear the government's explanation. What I want to see is every one of those guys on trial for murder and treason. And I don't mean the Branch Davidians. I mean Bill Clinton, Janet Reno, Jeff Jamar, Bob Ricks,
okay.
Stephen Higgins, Clay Jensen.
I got to interrupt here, Linda. I want to thank you once again for being an excellent guest and for all the work that you're doing.
Oh, Bill, thank you.
You, as one lonely individual, are putting all those people to shame out there who keep giving me that excuse. There's nothing I can do. I'm just one lonely little individual. Or I'm a woman. I can't do anything. I want to thank you. You are truly a real patriot. You put a lot of these idiots out there, including this guy that wrote me this thing tonight, G. Drysdale, to shame.
I want to ask the men, what are you going to do about this kangaroo trial in Waco?
Well, that's my next question, folks. Are you going to allow this to happen? Are you going to continue to be sheeple? As you allowed all those people to be murdered, are you going to allow the survivors to be destroyed by this society and locked up in jail or sentenced to death? What are you going to do, sheeple? Don't ever criticize me for calling you what you are. You are stupid, ignorant, and apathetic, the majority of you. Some of you are smart, intelligent people and are helping in this battle. And God bless you. And whether you believe it or not, good night, and God bless you all.